to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to episode number 54 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor, Brandon Crowd. Well, it was an awesome first week back. Thank you to everyone that listened, checked out the show, retweeted, all that nonsense. Thank you very much. Still getting back into the groove of devoting my non-work life completely to social media, but we are getting there slowly but surely. Can't wait to start doing some live tweeting of some racing and getting back into the groove completely. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I had a blast, got to do a little relaxing, and Sunday had a fantastic time hanging out with some friends, watching the Royal Rumble, and this weekend, the big dance. My man, Mr. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, taking on Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles. This could be the last run of the dynasty. You guys know I want Mr. Tom to get his sixth ring. And it's also pretty exciting from a Detroit perspective in that hopefully maybe Monday, Tuesday, next week sometime, we will get to announce defensive coordinator Mr. Matt Patricia as our new head coach, which I'm pretty excited about. In case anybody cares, I am predicting a 35-24 New England Patriots victory. So I hope everyone has a fantastic time watching the Super Bowl this weekend. I should be on Twitter, hopefully celebrating. Let's see. We had some racing on the track this weekend at Daytona. The Rolex 24 was this past weekend. Congrats to Chip Ganassi Racing on their class victory. Not going to lie, only watched about a half an hour or so of that. It was unfortunate, but just some things didn't time up when that was on to when I could watch that. But the awesome part about the Rolex 24 means we are one step closer to the Daytona 500. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, we're just 18 days away. I think we're just 10 or 11 days away from cars hitting the track for practice for the Clash. I'm excited. I can't wait. And let's get into the interview here that I promised everyone with Miss Kelly Crandall. So normally I do this little chunk of the show before I do the interview, and technology decided to poke me with a stick tonight and make fun of me and piss me off. And so a real quick side story. I think I've told you guys before, you know, how we do the interviews is I plug my iPad into the recording mess that's sprawled out here. And when my cell phone rings, I answer it through the iPad, which works out really nice. And 9 times out of 10, it works flawlessly. And the setup down here in the man cave doesn't move. There's a computer down here. The equipment set out. The iPad's always down here. So not much gets touched. And earlier in the week, I was doing some testing for the phone line and all that kind of stuff. And everything worked flawlessly. I was happy. Well, one other ritual, anytime a guest calls in, NASCAR by marriage does a little test with the phone to make sure that the iPad picks up. So at 7 o'clock tonight, I text Lindsay, who's not home, hey, call the cell just so I can test it. And she calls the cell rings, the iPad doesn't ring. And you can't just connect the cell phone to the podcast equipment because it gets really staticky for whatever reason. So I'm like, all right, hold on, you know, so I shut it off and I turn it back on and reboot everything up, connect everything. And I said, all right, give it a call again. Doesn't work. I'm like, all right, well, let's try the new Google phone number that we're going to be using for the phone line. Well, that doesn't work. So I apologize for the potential lack of audio quality here, but I did a replay because I ended up having to record it before I could do the intro to the show. So the interview's done, and I'm going to drop that in here in a second. So again, I apologize. You may have to turn it up a little bit to hear Kelly at normal volume, to which normally should not be an issue. But as promised, here is Miss Kelly Crandall. All right, joining me on the line, she's a writer for Racer.com, put out some great pieces last week with Joey Logano, covered some stories with the likes of Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch for Media Day. She also hosts her own podcast, the Racing Writers Podcast, which is available on iTunes. Kelly Crandall, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast.
thanks for having me. I'm glad it finally worked out. I've been looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. How was your weekend?
A little busy. Was in Phoenix late last week for the West Coast Media Tour, and I was doing some things out there with the ISM Raceway and talking to the promoters out there for Vegas and Phoenix and Fontana. And then there was, I don't even know what happened over the weekend. Everything's been running together, and next thing I know, I'm in New Jersey visiting with my grandmother who's been ill. So it's been busy, it's been crazy, everything's blending together, and the season hasn't started yet, but I'm ready for that.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that. Hope everything works out all right there. But yeah, no, things are definitely getting crazy here.
It's funny because it's one of those things where I felt like the off season was going pretty smooth, was kind of going a little bit slow, you know, really just enjoying it and taking it all in, you know, busy as ever, of course, the work never stops, but it was like, oh my goodness, we turned the calendar to 2018 and it's just been one thing after another.
It has definitely been crazy. So, Kelly, you mentioned in your podcast last week with Scott Pruitt, which was fantastic, by the way, that you were going to be doing a Get to Know You podcast with Matt Tift, which I'm also excited about. But for my listeners who don't maybe know Kelly yet, let's get to know Kelly. How did you get into the sport? What drew you to the sport? What's your background getting into NASCAR?
Well, first I will say as a side note that the podcast with Matt Tift is going to happen. I've actually had to postpone it, as I said, since I came up to New Jersey for family. But it will happen. I'm just not sure when. We'll definitely get together here early on in the season. So I'm excited about that as well. And thanks for the Scott Pruitt compliment. That was one of the most fun interviews I've ever done. And he's quite the character, quite the legend. So it was really an honor for me to have him on the podcast. So. But no, as for myself, I mean, I always like to say, you know, everybody in the sport has a story. You know, mine's not any more fancy than anybody else's. I was a preteen, and the first race I ever watched was the 2001 July Daytona race, of course, which was won by Dale Earnhardt Jr. And, you know, I watched that race just because my dad had been a racing fan kind of on and off when he was younger, and it got to the point where, you know, kind of like the Super Bowl, you know, most casual fans always watch the Super Bowl. And, you know, he was a casual race fan when I was younger, but he always watched the Daytona 500. So, of course, when we lost Dale Sr. in 2001, you know, I kept hearing from him and his friends about, you know, how cool the July race would be because, you know, of course, they were going back to that track. And, you know, they even mentioned maybe going to that race as a possibility. Of course they didn't, but I was so intrigued just by constantly hearing them talk about, you know, all these names in this race that was the first race that I sat down and watched, and I, of course, was hooked immediately by the speed and the sounds and just the cars under the lights, which even to this day is something that I find really, really awesome is, you know, night racing. So that was, you know, that was how I got into it. And then after that, it really became just something that I, you know, lived, breathed, slept. I mean, I really got into it. And by, I would say, mid-high school, I kind of made the decision that, you know, I like racing. I felt like I was kind of coming into my own, was feeling like I was, you know, pretty decent writer by what my English teachers were telling me. So I said, you know what, maybe we can combine these two. And honestly, the rest after that was history. My love for the sport just continued to grow, certainly all through college. And, you know, at that point, I mean, I was just hooked, you know, full bear. So it's been quite the journey.
Well, I can tell you your passion definitely comes through in the pieces that I've read of yours. So job well done there for sure. Absolutely. All right. So let's transition. Writer, all that kind of stuff as you've done. You started your own podcast. You're 15 shows in from a fellow podcaster to another. What lit that spark?
Yeah, something that I'm passing off as a podcast. I don't know, you know, I don't feel like it's any good, but people, you know, like you guys keep telling me that, you know, it's interesting and entertaining, so I'm going to keep doing it. But, honestly, I've always felt like one of the coolest things being a journalist is the story that you get to tell and the interviews you get to have. And for me, I love to do face-to-face, one-on-one interviews because I feel like your subject is more likely to be open and honest with you because they can, you know, they can see you, they can see how, you know, how seriously you're taking things, and you kind of just feed off each other, both as, you know, the interviewer and the interviewee. And, you know, the more that I get to do one-on-one sit-down interviews with drivers or crew chiefs or whoever it may be, it just got to the point where I was just having, and this is in no way, you know, trying to pat myself on the back, but, you know, the conversations were just so good that I honestly walked away from quite a few of them, and I said, you know, I wish I could, you know, I wish people could hear that, you know, for themselves. I wish they could hear the audio. I wish they could hear the emotion or the pauses or whatever it may be from, you know, from a Joey Logano or whoever it was. And what really pushed me over the edge, I guess really kind of sparked, you know, the fire to really sit down and finally decide, okay, I'm going to do a podcast, was it was a Joey Logano interview back in the spring at Bristol Motor Speedway. I was doing an interview with him for his upcoming 300th Cup Series start. And I actually had only asked for about, you know, 10 to 15 minutes with Joey because it was during a very packed, you know, Bristol weekend schedule back in it was April or March. And as the interview got going and it got going and he's talking and he's really opening up and he's really being, you know, honest with his emotions and really kind of digging deep into his memory about, you know, the early starts of his career and the struggles and being at Joe Gibbs and, you know, hearing he's going to lose his job and then going to Team Penske. And all of that was, you know, by the end of it, we were 30 minutes in because, you know, his public relations people were great enough to just, you know, let us keep talking and let us keep telling the story. And that was the interview that I really said, okay, this is something that needs to be in audio form. So, you know, when I finally sat down and said, you know, I want to do this, but I want to do it right, that's why it took me, you know, a couple more months to really roll it out. But that was certainly an interview that I wanted to eventually showcase on the podcast. But honestly, that's really been the whole spark behind it, is just trying to, you know, let listeners and let fans into, you know, hearing a true, genuine story and certainly hearing true emotion, you know, from these guys. And I think that's why the Scott Pruitt podcast was so good, is because I didn't cut out all the dead air and all the pauses in that, because I felt like that's what was making the story so real, is because Scott was taking the time to, you know, he was not only thinking about his answers, but he was thinking about his memories and races and people and things like that. So that's when those interviews like that with Scott, when those get aired on the podcast, that's exactly what it's all about.
That's awesome. That's a great story. That's awesome reason to do a podcast, let me tell you. I love it. You know, this is hobby for me. I've got a day job. This is a drunk idea at a bar turned real life that's gone crazy for it. Oh, those are great stories. But it's like, all right, here we are, you know, reaching out, like MIS is my home track, and getting media credentials for the first time last year, and MIS opening their door to the show and letting us record in the media center last year, and getting to do your first face-to-face interview. We had Landon Castle, Michael McDowell, you know, and just like, I watch you guys on TV and I tweet about you, and here I am sitting face-to-face with you at MIS on race weekend. It's an incredible experience. It's fantastic.
It absolutely is, and I can honestly say that, you know, I'm however many years in the business now, and I still feel that way. I mean, I still feel that way just walking in the garage and being able, you know, being right there next to a race car. I mean, it's just, it's the coolest feeling. And like I said, certainly with the podcast, I mean, it's been a little bit of a struggle because, you know, I got such a late start on it in terms of it was the end of the year last year. So, you know, I really wasn't going to get a whole lot of interviews, and that's why it's kind of been sporadic. But, you know, if I can be here, and I hope to, you know, of course I have to focus on the writing because that's what I'm getting paid for.
Sure.
And focus on over at Racer. But, you know, yeah, I definitely want to keep doing this and have it be, you know, more of a schedule type thing and get more of these interviews and talk to more of these guys. Because like you said, I mean, it is a fun experience, whether it's a hobby or whether it's a profession. I mean, I consider it a hobby. I'll always consider, you know, writing. That's my first, like I said, that's my job. That's my first love. That's what I'm here to do. But the podcasting thing is a lot of fun. So I'm hoping to this year it'll continue to get better.
Well, that's awesome. I know a lot of my listeners love you and what you do. So that's fantastic. All right, let's talk a little racing. You covered Media Day last week. You know, we all heard the Kevin Harvick stories, the Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch stories, and all that. Anything that you maybe got wind of that you thought was interesting that maybe didn't get that much media coverage?
You know, honestly, I haven't really sat down and thought about it a whole lot from that perspective. But, you know, I thought as a media tour as a whole, I was really impressed by a lot of my colleagues because it was a very well-attended media tour. And I felt like there was just so many stories out there, whether it was, you know, myself at Racer, and I'll certainly, you know, I'm not against plugging others. But, you know, whether it was NBC or NASCAR.com or AutoWeek, I mean, there were so many stories from last week out there, and there's still more that I think are going to trickle out between now and next week at Daytona, because, you know, we still have, you know, time for cars on the track, and myself included. You know, you can really spread out some stories and you know, kind of you know, wait some pieces out and until we get closer to speed weeks. But I will say that I think some of the things that were maybe lost in the shuffle a little bit was you know, Clint Boyer talked, obviously, of going into his second year. And, of course, you know, he's going to talk about wanting to win races and, you know, he's not putting any pressure on himself. But, you know, I just thought it was interesting from the perspective of, you know, he knows the importance of winning, and he wants to, you know, it's been 5 years since he's won.
It's been a long time.
It's been a very long time. So, and he knows that. He hates being asked about it. It's actually something I talked to him about late last year. He says, look, I hate when you guys bring it up. So he wants to win badly. But, you know, the whole dynamic over at Stewart Haas Racing is going to be very interesting. You know, Eric Almirola certainly is getting a lot of attention over in that 10 car, and he certainly had, you know, a good amount of people over by him during media availability. You know, Bubba Wallace being a Cup driver, he was very excited about that. You know, I haven't written that story yet, but I'm sure I'll get it up on Racer.com before the season starts. Just the fact that, you know, one of the things that made you chuckle was, you know, he's sitting there and he says, you know, here I am and I'm walking around and I'm doing all of this stuff and I can look at the guys and say, you know, that's a cup driver, and I'm a Cup driver. You know, I'm not an Xfinity driver anymore, looking around seeing who's in the Cup Series. So there was a few little things like that, but I think all the major stories were well represented out there across all of the platforms. I think a lot of the major messages, whether it was pit crew changes or the inspection changes or the new Chevrolet Camaro, you know, things of that nature, I felt like definitely got their due diligence and were given plenty of attention. And again, I think all the smaller stuff that could, you know, that can be spread out between now and Daytona, I think everybody's got plenty of material.
That's awesome. You mentioned the inspection process, which that's something that I'm kind of keeping my eye on, is something that I was really shocked to see the number of inspection issues, pre-race tech inspection, you know, lots of drivers with, you know, losing qualifying capability and all that in 2017. There's this talk of this new Hawkeye system coming out. Do you think that's going to be implemented for 2018, or is going to be pushed back? Have you heard anything on that?
Well, I haven't heard that it's been pushed back. As far as I know, they're still on schedule with it. They were, NASCAR was actually using it optionally. It wasn't mandatory. They were using it optionally last year during the playoff races. They were bringing it to the racetrack, and teams, you know, could start going through it, seeing how it was going to work, you know, push their cars through it, see what type of things were going to show up, you know, and everything of that nature. And a lot of teams have been, you know, bringing the cars over during this offseason, bringing the cars to NASCAR over at the R&D Center and using the inspection system there to really get acquainted with it before we get to Daytona. So from everything that I understand, we're still on schedule to, that will be the system that we're using this year. I got to see it with a few other of my media colleagues. Again, I got to see it before, you know, the playoffs last year. And it's a Newman was kind of, you know, pooping all over, for lack of a better term.
It's a podcast. You can say what you want.
Newman was, of course, being a little pessimistic about, what happens if it crashes or things like that. But, NASCAR seems to have done their due diligence. It's a very impressive system. It's got, if I remember correctly, 17 high-definition cameras, and, there's different ways they can look at the car, and it's pretty much a full body scan, almost like a... I guess the best way to analyze it or use an analogy, it's almost like an MRI or a full body scan, where they're going to be able to, look at these cars from different angles and, it's going to have different colors on it to kind of see, green is good, red might be an area where they need to further inspect, then maybe something, is not matching up the way it needs to be. So it's got lasers and cameras. It's a pretty impressive system. So I know a lot of the teams, again, were talking about it last week, just because it's going to make these teams kind of change how they're working on their bodies and hanging on their bodies, because tolerances are, still going to be very tight. They're still going to be very close. But now with this system, it's really going to pinpoint, inches and thousands and all of these little things. That if this system works as it's supposed to, that NASCAR's hoping, it's really going to, keep these cars in line, keep the shapes and the lines, everything how it's supposed to be. So I think this system could be something that really might change the game this year in terms of, putting the teams, kind of back on their toes of, all right, we can't push it as much as we were pushing it.
Man, that's I'm excited to see how that works out. I hope that reduces some of the infraction issues and all of that, because if it's got color imagery from the cars, they're not going to be able to hide from that. So that should definitely be interesting.
When they rolled it out and showed it to us again, last September. Of course they were still working on getting it finalized, but they were showing us pretty much, look, this is how it's going to work, and this is what it's going to be like. And I was quite impressed. I actually have a story from September that I put on Racer that I might have to pull back out and relink on social media, just so everybody can go back in and look at it, because I think I broke it down pretty much of how it's going to work. And I think I had, what it all consists of with all the cameras and everything. But I'm telling you, it's pretty impressive. And I know, a lot of fans, they get kind of upset about, NASCAR is not catching things, or the team, it's not the team's fault, or, we're always quick to blame NASCAR, but I'm telling you, it's really going to put the pressure back on the teams to make sure that they've got everything in line the way it needs to be.
That's awesome.
If it goes according to plan.
All right, Kelly, so one driver that I'm really going to be keeping an eye on next season is Kyle Larson. Started out 17 strong, is dominant at Michigan, apparently loves that track, but kind of fell off in the playoffs with some engine issues and things of that nature. Any one or two particular drivers that you've got your eye on that you want to see make some noise in 18?
Well, I mean, we certainly have quite a few to choose from. I mean, you look at all the new faces in different places, or just new faces in general, such as Alex Bowman, William Byron, and things of that nature. So, of course, I think probably the one with the most pressure, I think, is pretty split between William Byron and Alex Bowman, just because of who they're driving for over at Hendrick Motorsports. I'm going to be very interested to see how Alex Bowman handles a full season driving that car, working with that team. He does have experience with Greg Ives. He knows all of those guys. He knows everybody pretty much at Hendrick Motorsports, because he spent plenty of time over there doing simulator work for them, as everybody knows. So that, I think, will ease the learning curve up a little bit. But, he's hungry. I mean, he wants to go out and succeed. He wants to go out and just not run well. He wants to win races. So I'm hoping he doesn't put too much pressure on himself, and he can go out and, just focus on the task at hand, enjoy having this opportunity, because, as everybody knows, this is the best opportunity he's had at the Cup level. And, the same could be said for William Byron. you know, he's going in the 24 car, which we know is a very iconic car. He's the reigning Xfinity Series champion. He lit the Camping World Truck Series on fire. So he's been good in everything that he has sat in. But, you know, now he's got to prove it at the top level. And, you know, I'm going to be interested to see as a young driver how he handles that. I think having a teammate like Jimmy Johnson is going to work wonders for him. You know,
it doesn't hurt.
It kind of reminds me. Absolutely not. You know, and it kind of reminds me of, you know, when Jimmy came in, he had Jeff Gordon. And now it's, you know, Jimmy Johnson taking on the William Byron. So it all goes in circles
sure. In
this sport, literally and figuratively. So I'm really interested in that. But I think this will be just a good year in general because, again, there's so many faces in good places that will get attention. You know, Ryan Blaney, of course, being in-house at T-Penske, can he continue what he did last year with the Wood Brothers? We talked about Bubba Wallace earlier, DNF43. That's certainly a storyline I think we all need to pay attention to is how does Richard Petty Motorsports work with RCR? You know, does the move to Chevrolet and getting an alliance with a bigger team, so to speak, does that help them start to turn a corner? You know, I by no means think it will make them instant championship contenders, but I certainly believe that this is a very good move to make. So, you know, RCR's two cars, we're going into a season where there's been so much change, whether it's drivers or team, you know, maneuvers that they've had to make, that it really makes this year almost refreshing in a sense, because I feel like we're going into a year where there's not just the same old storyline that we're going to follow, you know, such as who's going to make the playoffs and can Jimmy Johnson win another championship and things like that. Now we've got so many different things to follow, whether it's inspection, playoff points, stage racing and all of these different drivers and different crew chiefs and sponsors. Like, there's just so much going on that I think the right word to use is it's going to be a very refreshing year.
I like that. That's good. I'm with you 100% on that, you know. And just to piggyback off the 43 and RPM, I think this is also probably a refreshing year for them. You know, they had a two-car team a couple years ago with Brian Scott, and then he left. They went back to a one-car team, and they were kind of left on a little island from a Ford perspective. So maybe this puts a little jolt in RPM teaming up with RCR. I personally would like to see that, so I hope we get it.
The words that you used when it comes to William Byron and Jimmy Johnson, it can't hurt.
Yeah, right.
You know, it can't hurt for RPM to try something. And that was another story that I had written this offseason over at Racer.com is, you know, they needed to do something, to be quite honest. And this is not a knock, of course, on anybody over at RPM. But they really have not been relevant the last couple of years. So, you know, they needed to do something to, you know, get themselves back in the headlines for positive reasons, but also to be a team that's out there and is actually competing and not just, you know, running around on the racetrack in circles. So I like the fact that they've been able to snatch up Bubba Wallace. You know, that certainly helps with, a good demographic that helps them kind of change up their image. They can, like, again, they can start fresh. It's a refreshing rebuilding year for them. So switching manufacturers and aligning with the bigger team and focusing on one car and really kind of just rebranding themselves, whether it's sponsor, driver, all this stuff. Again, I don't think it can hurt, and I think it was a necessary move. Now it comes down to, you know, what will the results be, and I think in due time it will show that this is a good move for them.
Absolutely, I love it. All right, Kelly, let's transition here. I promised the listener some wrestling talk, and we're coming off an awesome Royal Rumble pay-per-view this weekend. But first, I got to get your thoughts. The XFL is back.
Yes, it is. How about that? I've been hearing rumors about that for quite some time. So that was announced the day that I was flying to Phoenix, so I didn't get to see the official announcement. But as soon as it came across my Twitter feed that Vince McMahon had something to announce, I got very excited, and I started chanting to myself, the XFL is back.
That's awesome. All right, Kelly, what'd you think of the Rumble? Let's start off with a guy since the women headlined it. What'd you think of the men's Royal Rumble match? I personally think they booked it pretty well, considering their last few years and the fans having a little bit bitter taste in their mouth. Shinsuke, Finn Balor, John Cena, Roman Reigns, the final four, let the crowd kind of go off thinking they knew what was going to happen. And I was really shocked and pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because I feel like I'm such a bad wrestling fan because it's one of those things where I get so caught up in, you know, trying to enjoy it and be a fan, but there are times where I start analyzing it so much because there is so much now on the internet where you can read and you think about it more from a logical standpoint, and you mentioned the word how they booked it. You know, of course, we all know that it is predetermined. So it's one of those things where I fight that balance between trying to sit there and enjoy it and get caught up in, you know, the non-reality. You know, it is sports entertainment, but then there's other times where I sit there and I'm like, well, why are they doing this? And they should do it this way, and it should be, you know, they should book it, you know, a different way. So watching the Men's Royal Rumble, I was really caught up into that because, again, as you said, you know, looking back to the last couple of years, we've had such a sour taste in our mouth just because, you know, maybe not so much because of the winners, but just how the match unfolded. You know, they were trying to create so many different storylines through the Royal Rumble match that it really kind of overshadowed how important that match would be. So I really liked how this year they focused on, you know, a lot of the guys in the Men's Royal Rumble were main roster guys from Raw and SmackDown. I think we had the Hurricane and Rey Mysterio, I think, were the only two surprises, I believe. So, and you know what? That's refreshing as well, but it wasn't overwhelming. So I think they did a really good job with that. I thought they did a really good job with, you know, you mentioned the Final Four because, again, we all thought it was going to go one way. Maybe a John Cena gets another WrestleMania moment, you know, after last year. Or maybe, you know, is Roman Reigns really going to win the Royal Rumble a second time in 3 years in Philadelphia when he was booed out of the building
right.
The last time. So, you know, I kind of knew, and I, again, going back to being a bad wrestling fan and following a lot of the rumor and innuendo that's on the internet, I kind of figured it would come down to Shinsuke Nakamura, but they did a great job. But again, you know, not only just how they booked the match, but the match itself, you know, all those guys delivered, whether it was Roman or Cena, you know, Finn Balor being in there for almost an hour and the way that, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura won it. It was very well done, and I commend them for that.
Absolutely. You know, the way you kind of described how you kind of have your inner battle with yourself, it's like 10-year-old Kelly is arguing with the intelligent Kelly trying to analyze things. And sometimes I bet the 10-year-old wins.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's again, you know, so many people, I shouldn't say so many people, but there's a few people who get on my case on Twitter about, you know, being a wrestling fan. Because, you know, I do tweet a lot about it because I do get caught up in it. And it's fun to escape reality, and it's fun to enjoy something that I've been watching since, you know, gosh, since I was probably 8 or 9, you know.
And, yep, and, me too.
You know, you tweet about it, and you get to enjoy it with other people. And then, like I said, you know, there are those people on the internet that, you know, are like, that's so fake, or how can you watch that, or whatever. And I understand that, but it is, you know, now being 28, you know, the 8-year-old me is sitting there going, just enjoy it. Don't think about it. You
right.
Know, just think, you know, think of how you would react if you were a kid. And then the 28-year-old me is like, man, I would have wrote that differently.
Yep. All right. So first ever Women's Royal Rumble match. I thought it was fantastic. I love that they closed the show with it. But I got to ask, considering all the legends that they had and paid them respects, you know, you mentioned only a couple surprise entrants in the Guys Rumble. I think it was fantastic that they had so many surprise entrants in the Females Rumble just to kind of pay respect to the women that paved the way to allow a first ever female Royal Rumble match. What'd you think of that? And I go back and forth with myself on Ronda Rousey. I love that she's coming. I love it. But did they let someone that's never stepped foot in the ring kind of overshadow the night by letting her close it out?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring all that up at once because it you know, one thing leads into another. So I'll start with saying that the Women's Royal Rumble, I was so nervous for, you know, even as a fan, you know, not just as, again, not just as an intellectual, but as a fan. I was so nervous. I was so excited, though, and I was looking forward to it more than I was looking forward to anything else on the card Sunday night, because it is a history-making moment, and I understand, you know, that was being pushed heavily, but again, you know, for non-wrestling fans or casual wrestling fans that are listening right now, there was a time where the women's division in the WWE they were either getting 3-minute matches or they were, you know, going out there just to do, you know, segments in bra and panties, or they were getting completely cut off the show because, you know, there was no time for them. So now to have such a talented roster on both Raw and SmackDown to where they are competing in Hell in a Cell matches, and they are doing ladder matches, and they're doing iron, 30-minute Ironman matches. They are doing and proving that if you give them the time, and if you have the right people working with them, they can do anything the guys can do. So I was so excited for the Women's Royal Rumble, but I was nervous as soon as I realized it was going to be the main event, because I didn't want to see them set up to fail, because I think a lot of us went in there with high expectations for what this was going to be. And again, I thought they did a fantastic job booking it. You know, when you really broke down the numbers, again, going back to intellectual B, when I sat there and actually kind of counted all the women that were on the roster that we knew were going to be in the Royal Rumble, it only came up to, you know, 17 girls when you took out Paige, who was injured, and then Alicia Fox got injured right before this weekend. So I was like, you already knew we were going to have a lot of surprises. And I was perfectly fine with that, because I felt like you said, not only was it a great moment to bring back, you know, the legends, as we call them, because you're getting the crowd into it. You are paying respects in a way to let these women be involved in something that they were planting the foundation for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And to have them involved, I think it also helped the younger stars, because if you go back and watch that match, a lot of the legends were eliminating the current roster. And I can, you know, and many people would say, you know, that's the wrong way to go about it. But in a way, you're making the current roster, I mean, to me, you're making the current roster look good by having the legends, in wrestling speak, put
sure.
them over.
Yep, yep.
So I was very surprised. You know, Michelle McCool was in there. I think she eliminated 4 girls. You know, Lita had a couple eliminations. Trish Stratus had a couple eliminations. So that was really cool. I think that did a lot for the current roster, but again, the match as a whole, I thought, was booked so well. I thought everybody except for, I don't want to name names, but, you know, except for two of them, I thought they did a really good job with everybody that they included and that they had in the match. And again, it was just a phenomenal job by all the women in that match. I mean, Sasha Banks proved, as her, you know, she was sporting the Wonder Woman colors. I mean, she showed she was Wonder Woman going nearly 55 minutes. I think Becky Lynch went almost 35 minutes. So it was well done. I thought all the moves were good. There was no wasted moves. You know, to see Trish Stratus in there kicking ass and like she had never left, and Lita was the same way, and to see, you know, Sasha mash up with Trish Stratus was unbelievable. And you know, again, you know, you had your current roster that looked really good. You know, you were getting the attention on the girls like Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. So it was phenomenally done. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't all that, as a fan or as an intellectual type, I wasn't all that impressed with kind of how they did the Final Four, you know, with leaving Asuka in there with the two Bella twins. I thought, you know, Asuka versus Sasha, which ironically enough we got last night on Monday Night Raw, I thought that yep. would have been ending and I thought that would have been really well done. But as a whole, I thought it was phenomenal, and I'm just so proud. Like, just as a fan, like, I'm not crying. involved in any way, but I was so proud.
But no, that's awesome. I get it completely. You know, the one thing I was surprised, yeah, I was surprised they didn't let Trish and Lita be in the ring at the same time for the Rumble. I was very surprised with that. That was probably the only thing that kind of caught me off guard was, you know, you kind of expect a Trish and Lita to be in there. I would have thought they would have given them a face-to-face moment in the ring.
Yeah, I was, you know, I didn't even think about that because when Trish matched up, when there was a moment where it was Trish versus Mickie James, I thought the announce team did a really good job of mentioning the rivalry that those two had.
Yep.
And for Mickey to still be on the roster and Trish coming back, it was a really nice blend of, you know, past and present and future. So,
yep. No, I agree.
I think, you know, yeah, we may have laughed with Lita versus Trish, but I thought they did a really nice job of touching on Mickey and Trish.
Sure. All right. Quick thoughts on Ronda, and I'll get you out of here, Kelly.
You know, I was excited. You know, again, this is something that we've been hearing rumors for quite some time. And again, you know, going back to the fact that, okay, they put the women on last. So either, you know, they're hoping to have a really good Rumble match, which they did. And I think even if Ronda had not come out, I think we could have had, you know, we could have ended the show as it was. But I kind of had the inkling that something was going to happen if they were making the women the main event. So I'm excited to have Ronda. I'm excited that she came out and she looked excited, which I know some people were like, hey, she's supposed to look like this badass chick that she was in UFC. And I'm sure they'll develop, you know, that character. But to see her come out and look genuinely happy, genuinely thrilled to be there and excited for the future, that's cool. You know, that's cool when when that comes off to the fans and we can tell that this person really wants to do this. So I hope that, you know, that she's putting her heart into it. You know, it seems like it's going to be a couple years worth of her time. So I'm sure they're already working on something for WrestleMania, which will be very interesting. But I'm excited to have her. So I know, you know, I think, you know, going back to your earlier question, I think it did overshadow, you know, the Women's Royal Rumble a little bit. But again, you know, that's going to be expected when you're taking a mainstream sports superstar and you're putting her, and all of a sudden you're putting her on a new, you know, a new screen, a new sport. I mean, it's going to get the attention. So it's an unfortunate side effect. It's going to be interesting to see how she interacts with, you know, all the girls on the WWE side now and whether or not there's, you know, legitimate, you know, displeasure there. But I'm interested to see how they develop her character. I'm interested to see how they get her to WrestleMania. And again, you know, just how does she take to the world of sports entertainment? So, you know, it's going to be completely different than what she had been doing. But she looked excited, so that has me excited. And it's just going to be interesting to see how she blends in and, again, how she interacts with everybody.
Absolutely. All right, Kelly, tell the listeners where they can find you on social media, where they can read your stuff and listen to your show.
You know, Twitter is just my name, at Kelly Crandall. The Racing Writers Podcast is on SoundCloud as well as iTunes. And of course, it gets linked on social media. There's a link in my bio. And I also have a Facebook page under my name as well, which is, of course, separate from my I guess you would say, you know, actual live page for life.
Sure.
I'm all over, like, you can find me, and of course, I hope everybody's reading racer.com, so I'm ready for a good year with them. I'm glad they're keeping me on board. Last year was a lot of fun, so I'm all over the place, but I'm pretty easy to find.
Awesome. All right, everyone, make sure you follow Kelly. Check out her stuff on racer.com. Make sure you check her out on her podcast. Kelly, thanks so much for taking some time to come on Lab Traffic. I had a blast, and maybe we can do this after WrestleMania.
Yeah, that would be fun.
What an awesome time I just had talking with Kelly Crandall. Man, you can feel the passion and the love that she has for NASCAR. So everyone, make sure you check out her podcast, the Writers Racing Podcast on iTunes. Check her out on racer.com and all that kind of stuff. I can't wait to have her back on, which if we're able to put that together, WrestleMania is in April, so may not be that far away. All right. I'm going to hit some social media as usual. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like it on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure to follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. And I said last week I was going to try the Instagram thing again, and I didn't make any posts. But I'm still going to give it the old college try. So if you want to follow on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. You can listen on iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, FM, or Player FM, Acast. Subscribe, auto-download, leave some comments, all that good stuff. I'll have a new contest up here in a couple weeks, I promise that, and I'll get back to the new follower shout-outs, probably starting the week of Daytona, maybe the week before. Don't forget about the Amazon portal on the website. Bookmark that bad boy and use that anytime you are shopping through Amazon. It'll help support the show. You want a Lap Traffic t-shirt, hoodie, zip up, travel mug? That's on the website too if you want to help support the show. New stickers and koozies are in. They're yellow and blue, or maize and blue if you're from Michigan. Bigger stickers. I've gotten a bunch of requests for those. If you want one, I'm going to mail them out this weekend to make sure you get them in time for Daytona. So get over to the website, go to the contact part of the page, send me your address, and I will get them out to you. Got some fan mail? Hit me up, The Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. All right, quick recap on the Fantasy League. I'm not going to repeat everything, but there are still some spots left. The league's about half full, maybe a little over half, or a little under half the spots are remaining in the second annual Lap Traffic Fantasy League. It's free to play. I'll announce the prizes here in a few weeks. Rules are on the website for how to play and how to join. If you want to check it out, hit up the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the Fantasy link. Everything's there. Deadline to register is the 11th of February and is limited to the first 75 people. So, like I said, there's a little less than half left. So if we get to 75 before February 11th, well, then that'll be it there. I've gotten a few questions on the official driver series list. I know I've seen some in the past. Basically, all I'm trying to do is make it so that you have to pick a cup guy for cup, Xfinity for Xfinity, truck for truck, and avoid the selection of cup guys in any other series. Basically, is the point to make it a little bit more fun and incorporate the Xfinity and truck. If you got any questions, you know, tweet me, shoot me an email, whatever. And I'll try to clarify it. You know, this is a fun league. Prizes donated by me, so there might be a few bumps along the way. Anything that might need to be changed as far as rules go, I'll make sure to do it in as far advance as possible. It went pretty smoothly last year. No one had any real complaints, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Bigger pool of people playing should make it more interesting and all of that, so... Again, if you want to play in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League, check out the website, laptrafficpodcast.com. Well, not too much from a silly season perspective this week. It was announced today, Valvoline is going to be staying with Hendrick through 2022, which I got to tell you, I like these longer sponsor contracts. Kind of, you know, makes me feel at ease knowing that there are some big... companies and corporations that we've seen in the sport for a long time still have faith in the sport and want to stick around. And you know, I mentioned it last week with the Monster Energy sponsorship in terms of how does it look to future sponsors and investors into the sport to see the title sponsor maybe only stick around for 2 years, in for two and out, versus sticking around. Does that detour other people from maybe coming into the sport if a company like Monster maybe gets out right away? So just seeing, you know, some of these other companies stick around and come out with these long-term contracts to stay in the sport makes my heart feel good. So hopefully that's a positive sign of things to come as far as sponsors coming back into the sport, which like I said, I'm very happy to hear. Also announced today that Jeffrey Earnhardt will be driving for StarCom for the 500 and the 2018 season, marking the 40th year, and Earnhardt will be running in the Daytona 500, which that's an awesome, awesome trend. Hopefully he has a little bit better season than he did last year. We'll see with that. And some exciting news. I don't know if you guys maybe read on JSC or not, but gotten some emails from MIS. MIS is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, and they have a ton of exciting things planned, which I'm really excited about. They got a new campsite with like permanent electricity and water and shower facilities. They've added some new stuff in the stands. They're going to have an all-you-can-eat package. MIS is really going to be pulling out all the stops this year, and I cannot wait to get out to the track in June and August and work with those guys this year again. If you can, come and see me at MIS. I will be there both races and can't wait. So you will be hearing some more about me and MIS in the weeks and months to come, which I am very excited about. And all right, that's going to do it. Episode 54 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Again, I just hit social media, but make sure you check out the website, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. If you want to play in the Fantasy League, there's still some spots left. Next week, I have two huge announcements. And one of those announcements ties into next week's guest, which I can't announce right now. Something a little different. Let's just put it that way. It's very exciting. I can't wait. Big thanks to Kelly Crandall for calling in. Had a blast talking with her. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!